A recently published article in The Nation magazine alleges potential human rights violations have taken place at the United States Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility in Florence, Colorado, also known as Supermax or ADX. The 18-month investigation found inmates held in a certain unit there had been force-fed and barred from sharing their stories with the outside world. 91.5 KRCC's Abigail Beckman spoke with reporter Aviva Stahl about her findings.
Thanks for being here, Aviva.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your report focuses on a certain cell block at Supermax. It's called H Unit. Prisoners there are subject to Special Administrative Measures, or SAMs. One phone call a month, all letters read and redacted by the FBI, no press access. Even lawyers are prohibited from sharing what they are told by their clients. Tell us about the former inmate that you were able to talk to.
Sure. So Mohammed Salama was convicted of participating in the 1993 World Trade Center attack. And then from 1994, after his conviction, until 2001, he was in a variety of high security facilities across the U.S., but not the Supermax, because he wasn't perceived as being a national security threat or a threat to the public. Then after 9/11, he and a lot of other high-profile men convicted of terrorism offenses were moved very suddenly to the ADX, really without explanation. And then 2005, again, without explanation or rationale, they were moved onto H Unit.
So he's now at a prison in Kentucky. That's how he was able to talk to you, although he risked a lot to do so. What did he say about his decision to hunger strike at Supermax?
He was protesting his conditions of confinement, pretty much the SAMs that he was living under. So his demands sometimes were, in the larger sense, pretty minimal. You know, he wanted more phone calls per month, other hunger strikes. The men wanted to be able to have non-contact visits with their families without their shackles on, or to be able to write more letters.
And in your reporting, Aviva, you say the force feedings are done in a medical room with the prisoner strapped to a chair, arms handcuffed behind their back, legs shackled. A tube is inserted into the nose and then down into the stomach. The descriptions you give of this sound incredibly uncomfortable, to say the least.
What stood out to me the most was this one force feeding that Mr. Salama experienced, which happened in 2006. He was brought into the force feeding room, strapped into the chair as he usually was. And the PA, the physician's assistant, started feeding him. And Mr. Salama vomited up the first carton of nutritional supplement that was put into the tube. And instead of stopping the procedure, the physician's assistant continued to put more nutritional supplement down the tube. And Mr. Salama vomited it back up. And this continued and continued and continued until Mr. Salama had been force-fed 16 cartons of nutritional supplement. That's about a gallon of the liquid, only to vomit it all up in turn.
One might argue, though, that these prisoners don't deserve to have rights. These are really, like, they've been convicted of really terrible crimes. They're murderers, high-profile terrorists. Why does this matter?
I think the first important thing to know about hunger strikes are that they're a political act. They're not a medical situation. And what I mean by that is that hunger strikers don't want to die. They're just trying to use their bodies as a form of political protest. And the reason that that's important is because doctors aren't supposed to treat people without their consent. Just like if you and I went to the hospital and we were found to be mentally competent and we declined care, it would be unethical for doctors to forcibly provide treatment. The same is true of prisoners on the inside.
And that's a valid point. The World Medical Association has also publicly opposed the practice, saying that it, quote, violates the core ethical values of the medical profession. And some experts allege force feeding as torture. What response did you get from the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Prisons for your report?
I mean, essentially none. I sent both the DOJ and the BOP a pretty extensive list of questions. The DOJ just referred me to the BOP, and the BOP said they were just following regulations.
What do you feel that you've uncovered big picture-wise with this story?
In some circumstances and in some ways, there's greater transparency when it comes to the conditions at Guantanamo than when it comes to the conditions on H Unit at ADX, which is an American prison on American soil that holds American citizens. And I think that's something, if you're someone who thinks about government transparency or believes that public accountability and press is a key part of government accountability, I think that's really worrying.
Thanks for your time, Aviva.
Thank you so much again for your interest. I really appreciate it.
Aviva Stahl is a Brooklyn-based investigative journalist. Her report was established through interviews with lawyers and physicians, open records requests, and correspondence with former inmates. It was published in The Nation magazine and funded by Type Investigations.